One deal isn't going to make anyone rich, but, you know, it starts stacking and stacking and stacking. And over time, it becomes very, very powerful, and you just got to get your foot in the door.
Welcome to Trial to Triumph, hosted by Caleb Johnson, the show about leaning into life's constant testing on your way to realizing your biggest blessings.
Hello, my name is Caleb Johnson, founder of Red Sea Capital and host of From Trial to Triumph. On this show, we interview people who have experienced extreme trials and have prevailed triumphantly. Today, I'm speaking with Michael Wagman. Michael is the co-founder of Nimble Capital Group. He helps investors build legacy wealth through multifamily real estate and has closed tens of millions of dollars in commercial property just this year. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, man. Happy to be here.
Yeah. So, Michael, can you give a quick synopsis about your background?
Sure. Let's see. So, do you want before real estate or just real estate?
You know, let's start with business. So, did you start in real estate right out of high school or?
No. Okay. So, yeah, I grew up in California, went to school there. When I graduated college, I had the false notion that finding a job would be easy. I didn't really have any practical real world experience then. And the economy was still recovering after 08 a little bit. So I looked around for jobs for probably about 6 or 7 months and went to a lot of interviews and didn't land any of them, you know, unless I wanted to do an unpaid internship. So I basically just decided to jump ship and I moved to Tel Aviv, Israel, where I ended up living for about 3 years. I had some friends and family over there, and basically it's one of the startup capitals of the world. So if you can speak English and sell over the telephone, you are infinitely employable. So I pretty quickly found myself working in the high-tech sales industry there, doing SaaS or software as a service or a solution. And yeah, I lived there for about 3 years and it was fun. It was great. After about 3 years, I reached kind of a point where what a lot of people do there is they kind of jump from high tech to high tech company to high tech company. You know, they'll try to incrementally increase their salary little by little. And there's just so many startups that you can just kind of keep doing that loop until you find yourself, you know, making good money. But I had made some okay money up to that point, and I just decided, you know, I could either move companies and do this all over again, or I could try and do something for myself. So I decided to move back to the US, and all I knew was that I wanted to flip a house. I didn't know how to. I didn't know anything about real estate. Just been watching too much HGTV. Thought I could do it better than they could. And yeah, that's kind of how I ended up in real estate.
Okay. Wow. Wow. Yeah. I think a lot of people start with that notion of flipping a home. How did you transition into multifamily?
Yeah. So I did residential for about 3 years. And I pretty much tried every possible avenue of residential real estate investing you can try. You know, I started with fix and flips, made all the mistakes you could possibly make. I was, you know, I had no idea what other people's money was. I was using all my own money to do it. You know, selling like one house at a time, waiting sometimes 6 months between paychecks or getting paid at all. But thankfully I never lost money and I was pretty successful at it. And I learned a lot of lessons and never made the same mistake twice. And, over the course of about 3 years, I acquired 8 units of smaller multifamily rental. So I had a quad where I lived in one of the units and I house hacked it. I had 2 other duplexes. Then I moved out of that quad and did Airbnb with it. I also tried wholesaling. I also tried being a realtor. So just pretty much everything that you could possibly do in the residential space. And then in 2020, I moved from Florida to Arizona. And obviously, everyone knows what happened in 2020. It was a bit of a crazy year. But while, you know, a lot of the people were freaking out about what's going to happen with their jobs and the economy and everything during the pandemic, I was collecting rent from my passive income from my rentals and, you know, enough to sustain me. And I said, this is the answer. Got to figure out how to do this bigger, how to scale it into something really big. So that was pretty much the pivotal moment when I said, let's figure out how to buy an apartment complex.
Wow. I would think going from a single family portfolio and then jumping into a multi-million dollar commercial property with multiple units would be kind of daunting. Was there a mind shift there, or what did that look like?
There was. Well, you know, it's kind of funny because I had a conversation with this guy, and I actually don't even remember his name, but it's sad because he really shifted my mind. My goal at the time was to get up to 20 units of smaller multifamily and owning them all myself. And this guy, he said, well, why are you going to buy duplexes and triplexes when you could just buy 20 all at once? You're thinking too small. And I wish I could remember his name, man. he bothers me still to this day.
Just that
conversation was very pivotal in my life. But so at that point, after that, I started educating myself. So I read a book. I read lots of books about multifamily, and I learned what syndication was. And that was kind of really my first exposure to raising capital, which is what I do full time now. It certainly was daunting. It's certainly like, holy crap, you're going to buy a $5 million building. You're going to buy a $10 million building. But, you know, if you educate yourself, I ended up doing a mentorship. Through the mentorship, I actually met my business partner and the guy who sponsored our first deal. I definitely got my money's worth out of that. And here I am, you know, 2 years later with almost $60 million worth of real estate.
Wow. That's amazing. Whenever you had that first conversation with that gentleman, do you remember, was that on a meetup or a Facebook group?
I think I met him through LinkedIn, but I was still in Florida at the time, and he ran a meetup in Tampa, but I wasn't in Tampa at the time, and we just spoke on the phone. And just that conversation alone, you know, and he was trying to syndicate at the time. He hadn't done a deal yet. I remember this, and I don't know if he has yet today, but you know, that conversation definitely moved me.
Yeah. Wow, that's awesome. I think for me, I had a big moment too, where there was just going to a real estate meetup and associating myself with people that were of a, like you mentioned, a different mindset. And you think, well, why would you buy 20 units like five or four different times when you could just buy one property with 20? And you start thinking about it and think like, oh, well, why don't I do that? That's really cool. So tell me about the first deal that you did.
Yeah. So it's in Las Cruces, New Mexico. It's a 60 unit property. And in speaking with a lot of syndicators, the thing that you often hear, you hear a lot of horror stories about how sellers behave and all the different things that can go sideways while you're under contract and everything like that. And I don't know how we got this lucky, but we pretty much had the opposite of that experience for our first deal, which I'm very, very grateful for because we have had that experience since. But yeah, our first deal went really, really smooth. We had just one deal sponsor, didn't need to bring in any additional partners. And when I say we, I have my business partner and me, and the deal sponsor, and we raised all the capital ourselves, and we closed, and it's probably my favorite deal that we own still to this day. I mean, really? The thing is 100% occupied, cash flowing great.
Wow.
Doing good for everyone.
Wow. That's, I wish they all went like that, right? What was, even though it went well, I'm sure you learned some big takeaways from that. What was the biggest takeaway from that first deal?
Oh, I mean, there's tons. I mean, I think for me, getting past the first deal is just a significant milestone in itself, because it becomes something where it's no longer something that you're just talking about doing. It's like, no, I did this. I raised the capital. I closed the deal. I own a $5 million 60 unit property. I am a syndicator. And that just head shift is really significant, right? And you know, the thing about this business is one deal isn't going to make anyone rich, but you know, it starts stacking and stacking and stacking. And over time it becomes very, very powerful, and you just got to get your foot in the door. You know, it took us probably almost 18 months. We closed the first deal in May of 2021. So just about 14 months ago. So 18 months to get the first deal, almost another 6 months to close the second one after that. But in the 6 months, or in the 14 months since we closed the first deal, we've closed about seven. So just wow. Opening that door is really, really key. And it takes a lot of work and a lot of patience and a lot of education. You know, I was, when I first started this, I was kind of like chicken with my head cut off. You know, I didn't have any focus on a specific market. I was flying to Tennessee and Texas and, you know, South Carolina, and I didn't really know where I wanted to buy. And then I met my business partner, and he actually had a lot of broker connections already in the Southwest, and he knew the area very well. But I brought the capital and the sponsor, and you know, we were able to pull our resources together and make it work.
What do you think, when from first starting off and it taking 18 months to get the first deal done? I think I've heard that before, and that's common. And then it's a compound effect, and then you kind of just take off, right? What do you think, if you could go back to that 18 month period and tell yourself, hey, do this to shorten that time frame, what would that have been?
So it's funny you mentioned that, because through our mentorship, the thing that they taught us, and I am grateful for this in a certain sense, but it's not exactly the truth of the situation, was that you can do it all yourself, that you can do all of the broker relations, all of the deal finding, all of the underwriting, all of the capital raising, all of the asset management. You can do it all 100% by yourself. And, you know, they taught us how all those processes work. But what I didn't know is that if you can raise capital, which I actually did have a bit of access to, you know, during that 18 month period, you can get into other people's deals, other people who are more successful, who've already done it, you know, who know how to operate and run properties. You can just come with, hey, I raised $500K or $1 million. Can I get a slice of the GP? And that opens up a lot of doors very quickly. Now, I will say that I am grateful that that's not the route that I went down. Only on one of our deals was a time that we raised capital for a deal that somebody else had under contract. And what we learned from that experience is we always want to be the ones who are running the ship.
Really?
So, yeah.
Wow. What's the reason for that?
I mean, people do things differently. You know, and some people run a really tight ship, and some people run a really loose ship. And we have our processes and our systems, and we want to make sure that we're always the ones in control of the deal. Because really, you know, there's a lot of power in being the party that gets the deal under contract. Once you have a really solid deal, they say the money will find it. That's not true at all. It really does require a lot of work, but you can find people who want to raise that money for you and help you along the way. And you control the lion's share and make sure that all the asset management decisions are yours.
Right. So you control the deal, and it, that's, you know, I've heard a lot of the billionaires and the rich wealthy say, if you control it, that's what they want. because otherwise their money's in someone else's hands, and that's not how they've gotten to that point. So I think that's
true. And you know, the thing about raising capital is that no one's going to invest with you if they don't know, like, and trust you, right? And it takes time to build those relationships. And when somebody does invest with you, you become a fiduciary of their money, right? So you need to really vet the operators well if you're going to raise capital for someone else's deal. And, you know, we don't want to do that anymore. We want to be the ones controlling the deal and being, you know, responsible fiduciaries of our investors. Not that that particular deal was a bad deal at all. In fact, it's going well, and we know, you know, the deal sponsors very well and the people who put it together very well. But, you know, we raised about $400,000 for that deal, and we're not really involved in the asset management decisions because we're minority share owners.
Okay. Now, I would think if it's you and your business partner, and there is, I would think you would need to bring on more people if you wanted to scale, right? If you wanted to raise more capital, or let's say you want to buy a $50 million property, maybe the two of you might need to bring on another couple people to raise some capital. So whenever you're going through that process, how do you pick who to work with?
There's a couple of things. So, you know, even just to get into your first deal, you need to partner with someone, because the deal needs a deal sponsor. And that sponsor has to be somebody with the net worth and liquidity requirements in order to get you the loan, and the experience requirements in order to get you the loan. So if you're completely green, the only way for you to buy a $5 million property on your own is with cash. And if you have $5 million of cash, then go for it, man. All power to you. But, you know, otherwise you will need to partner with somebody to get into your first deal. And, you know, if you want to go from a $5 million deal to a $20 million deal, which is something that we did, you know, you need to make sure that the general partnership has a net worth of at least $20 million. And, you know, there's liquidity requirements as well. So yes, you definitely sometimes need to bring in other people. And the thing that we look for typically is, you know, experience and relationship and values. So they're definitely, you know, it's not going to be somebody that we just met. It's going to be somebody that we know and have a relationship with and know how they operate, which is another reason that mentorships are great, because they plug you into a network of people who are, you know, some of them have never done a deal and some of them have done lots of deals within the network.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Wow. That's awesome. So you did the property in Las Cruces, and I'm sure you mentioned there was, gosh, seven other deals. What has been if there's been a deal where you're thinking, this is our baby, right? Because it took so long. I mean, it was put so much effort into it. You know, you mentioned a property that took you 6 months to close. There must have been some big takeaways from that one that were different from the others.
Yeah. Lots that deal. Uh-huh. Oh my gosh. You know, that deal was excruciating to get it over the finish line. And it was, you know, the first property we bought was pretty much, it was a stabilized asset in a B class, kind of in an almost A area. The second property was not that at all. It was not stabilized, not in a bad area. It's in a B area, but it was definitely like a C, even C minus property. And, you know, when we finally took it over after months of extensions and everything, you know, we quickly discovered that we had about 50% of our tenants who actually were non-paying. So, you know, there's a lot of things. We had all the financials from before, but, you know, we don't know if the moment that we took it over, they just decided I'm not going to pay anymore, or, you know, maybe the books were being cooked, who knows. But, you know, we have encountered so many lessons through that property. And it is kind of like our baby, you know, like we put in a lot of hard work just to get it closed, and so much work since we've closed it to really turn the property around, make it a safe, wonderful place for our tenants to live, renovate all the units, make sure all the structures are sound and clean, and, you know, make sure the exterior has lots of curb appeal, make sure that, you know, the police presence is noticed, and that we take care of any safety issues as fast as possible. And it was, you know, it's the largest repositioning we've done to date. And it's a lot of work. It's going really well now. Let me tell you, we inherited 10,000 eggs.
Wow, that's incredible. Well, Michael, I think we're running out of time, and I just want to ask you three questions. If you could recommend one book to our listeners, what would it be?
If you want to do what I am doing, which, you know, my business partner does a lot of the asset management and the broker relations and stuff like that, and I raise a lot of the capital. So if you want to do capital raising, I have to go with Hunter Thompson's book, Raising Capital for Real Estate. Mm-hmm.
I'm in his course right now, and that book lays it out.
It's everything you need to know.
Yeah, it's a blueprint. Great recommendation. Where can people learn more about you?
Oh, lots of places. Our website, nimblecapitalgroup.com. Instagram, nimble_capital_group. I'm very active on LinkedIn, Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all of those places. Mm-hmm. You can find me there.
Yeah, I'm always seeing you post on deals that you're closing, and you're very active on there. So definitely go check Michael out. He's got a lot of stuff coming out.
And if you want to hear me play guitar, as you can see in the background, definitely go to my
Instagram. There you go. Some guitar fans out there. If you could share one piece of advice for our listeners, what would it be?
Take massive action. This is an Einstein quote I really like, but he said that life is like a bicycle. If you stop moving, you're going to fall off. So no matter what you do, don't stop growing. Don't stop moving forward. Don't stop taking action.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that. I haven't heard that from Einstein, but I might quote that. Well, everyone, thank you for listening. This has been...
It's Einstein quote _ Michael Wagner.
Yeah,
quote.
Exactly. _ Caleb _ Michael.
There you go.
Well, everybody, thank you for listening. This has been Caleb with Trial to Triumph. Have a good day.
It's time to grab your victory. Find us on the web at redseacapitalgroup.com and follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Red Sea Capital Group.